Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, and that means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms, especially Overcast. Joining me, as always, to talk all things Caps hockey, my buddy Coach Dan. How's it going, Coach? You doing good? We missed you last week.
I'm good. Thank you for holding down the fort while I was on holiday, as the Brits say. I was on vacation down in Florida. Got to do the Disney experience. It was fun.
Very nice.
Except
Very
for... Nice. My 20-month-old, definitely a flight risk.
Oh, God.
Like, yeah, no, not great. I see why parents have leashes for children now. I completely understand it. We didn't get one of those. My wife wouldn't do it. And I will, you know, I wanted one at the time, but I will defend that now and that it was the right call not to do it because we would have been tripping people left and right and, like, getting them tied up. Like, it would have been horrible. You know, like, you have two dogs, like, meet each other. And then, not the plane. No, she was difficult on the plane, but she was just excited about everything. Okay. But it was at Disney World. Like, she has no line etiquette at all.
Ah.
Like, if you're closer in line than her own family, she's like, well, I'm part of them now. And then she just runs ahead. It was, we would do this thing where we would circle up, and it was my in-laws and my brother-in-law and me and my wife and my son, who's four. And we would all circle up, and then she would just kind of bounce off all of us because she was just so excited about everything. No, we ended up. You'll love this. Or anybody out there listening that's a parent, feel free to steal this idea if you haven't done it already. But we would take blue tape and we would write my wife's phone number and mine on the blue tape and then put it on her back every day. So if she actually ran off and we couldn't find her, like, they knew who to call. Like, my four-year-old, we've taught him because we've been to Disney a couple of times. Because my brother-in-law works there, so we get to go. Otherwise, we would not be going as often as we did. So he works for Disney, and so we get to go, and it's great. So... we've taught him, like, you know, because we went to Bears game with him. And so I'm like, if you can't see us or an adult that's with you, like, this is what you do. But she's 20 months old. Like, even if she knew what to do, her language skills are not there yet. So we would write our names down on a blue piece of blue tape and leave that on her back all day in the event she ran off. But she saw something she wanted, gone. I mean, this little girl, if you're playing a video game, she is a 99 in speed when she wants something. Like, she is quick. So
she's going to be the next Hillary Knight then. She's going to be getting some gold medals.
Man, she's going to be our athlete. I'm telling you right now. That little girl's quick. She's not afraid of anything. She's a climber. She got herself out of a Target cart on her own and safely scaled down the cart so she could run down the aisle to look at something.
There you go. All right.
This girl is a pink, and she's 20 months old. Like, I can't wait till she actually understands what's happening. I am in trouble. So that's all I'm saying. No, it's great. It was great to be off. I think the show last week that you did, you went solo, was great. Thank you for holding down the fort.
It was not. Back. I apologize to everyone. That was a terrible show. I fully admit it.
No.
But thank you all for sticking around and not unsubscribing when you heard just me last week. I really do appreciate that. But here we go. Let's talk about it. So in very un-Caps-like news, they decided to break news the day of recording for us instead of the day after Coach Dan and I recorded for the week. And it's news that I don't think any of us wanted to hear, but I don't think any of us were surprised when this news broke. But Nick Backstrom and the Capitals announced today that he would be stepping away from the team to deal with his injury, his hip. We all know that this has been an injury that has kind of plagued Nick Backstrom for the last two seasons, maybe more, unfortunately. But Nick just kind of decided he was having a rough season. He didn't look like himself again, and he's stepping away. So it's a very sad day in Capitals history, but I don't think this is a day that any of us really didn't see coming.
Man, I think I was a little surprised in terms of the timing, but now that that's out there, it does kind of make sense. I mean, he's just, his hip, it sounds like, is not or was not responding in the way he wanted it to, and he just needs some time to let it heal and see if he can keep playing. And the Capitals have come out, and this is from Sammy Silber of the Hockey News, who she's the Caps beat reporter for them. She's put out that the Caps are reiterating he's not retiring, but he needs a break, it sounds like, and he needs some time to heal. So it's, you know, the Caps are going to put him on IR. It's very likely he's going to go on long-term injury reserve, which means that the Capitals can go that far above the salary cap ceiling, if I understand it correctly, based on his cap hit, which, according to Cap Friendly, is $9.2 million. So that frees up a ton of cap space when you're talking about in terms of what this team is going to do going forward. This also makes sense in terms of why Connor McMichael was centering. He and Backstrom were rotating at the center spot on the third line of practice on Monday. So now we kind of know what's going on. But one assist in eight games sounds like he wasn't playing at the level that he expects himself to play. And my guess is he was in a fair amount of pain. And so he's doing what's best for him, for himself and his future. And I don't think anyone can argue that point. I think he's definitely made the right call. And if this is it for him, it's the end of an era. It's the end of, again, it's not necessarily the case, but it is the end of a career of an all-time great with the Washington Capitals. Someone who certainly deserves to be in the conversation for the Hockey Hall of Fame in terms of his contributions on the ice. And it's a tough one. I know we were talking with Ryan Drury on Twitter earlier, and he and I agree. Backstrom's been my favorite player since he's been on the Caps. You know, love Ovechkin. A lot of the guys on the team since then, you know, I was a big Carl Alsner fan. John Carlson, Holtby. I've liked a lot of guys that have been on this team over the years. I don't think anybody's ever been to the level of like Peter Bondra, but Backstrom's right up there. And it's just because he's a dude that just goes about his game. He just plays really well. He plays hard. He's smart about it. He was a little physical, but not overly physical, but he was an incredibly talented hockey player that this team is very much going to miss. But it's not like this is a day that we didn't see coming at some point. Like, nobody plays forever. Not everyone's Jaromir Jagr, where they're playing until like late 40s. So it's a sad day in Caps world in terms of the likelihood that this is the end of Nicklas Backstrom as an active member of the Capitals roster. But it doesn't mean he's done, and it doesn't mean he's not still going to be a part of this organization. So it'll be weird. You know, if this is it for him in terms of a team that has Ovechkin but not Backstrom on it, where you don't see him coming back at some point in the future. But, you know, there was a team before Backstrom with Ovechkin on it, and it looks like there will be a team after him. But he ends, if this is it, he's ending with a heck of a career. He's played in 1,105 games, 1,033 points, 271 goals, 762 assists, according to the Caps website, plus 83. Just over 50% faceoff. And for a center, I guess that's pretty good at 50.1. I mean, this is a guy who, I don't know. I mean, his name's going to be up in the Raptors one day at Capital One Arena or whatever it's called at that point, considering he changes names every once in a while. So, yeah.
Yeah, he was the second guy to hoist the Stanley Cup. He obviously, I mean, he played that 2018 postseason run. I think he had two broken fingers, something like that.
His thumb. Remember, Ovechkin had to, like, I feel like he took it down by himself. If I remember this correctly, he took it down by himself the one way. And then as he was coming back, you kind of see him being like, to Ovechkin being like, help, help. Like, I'm going to drop it. Because was it his left thumb or his right thumb was just jacked up.
I can't remember which one it was. I just remember he missed a game or two because of that. But he played through it. The guy is a trooper, and he's been so important to this team for so long. It's hard to imagine a Caps team without him. And it's hard to imagine Ovi without him. I mean, even during that lockout year, 10 years ago, they went and played for Dynamo Moscow together, and they won the Gagarin Cup, something like that, in the KHL. You know, Backstrom has that. Not a lot of people can say that they have won that trophy as well as a Stanley Cup. It's unfortunate, but as we all get older and hockey is a very physical sport, I have to give all the credit in the world to Nicholas Backstrom, because he has tried everything, and he has tried so hard to come back from this injury. But hips are very difficult to come back from. You know, look, I'm a Ravens fan. Dennis Pitta, he was a tight end in the Joe Flacco era. He broke his hip in practice one day, missed a season, came back, broke his hip again. And that was kind of it after that. You know, they're very, very difficult to come back from. The fact that Backstrom came back last year, had an off season where he could train, and he was on the ice in Sweden, and he was able to do that. He went through training camp, but still to feel like something was wrong. This could not have been an easy decision for him. This had to have been so incredibly difficult to step away from the game. Now, looking at the team we have, I mean, there are going to be fans out there that are going to be like, well, you should have done this in training camp. Now we're stuck. We could have gone and gotten somebody else. And da, 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 da. So if we're going to have Connor McMichael at the center of the third line, who's going to take the wing position where Connor McMichael was? Is there going to be a call-up from Hershey? Are we going to stay with somebody else that's already on this team? What are your thoughts?
So lines from practice today, which means what's likely what we're going to see at the game tomorrow on Thursday. Ovechkin, Strome, Wilson on the first line, Milano, Kuznetsov, Oshie, Mantha, McMichael, Phillips, and then Beck Mallinson, LaPierre, who was recalled prior to the last game, and Alexi Protas as your forwards. Which, let's be honest, I feel like they were kind of preparing for this a little bit in terms of Backstrom by having LaPierre come up. Also because Dow was out. But none of this is like, yes, they could have gone if Backstrom decided that he needed more time during preseason. They could have gone out or the summer or whatever. They could have gone out and signed someone. But like they potentially have the guy and eventually you have to be able to move past players that are getting older. You have that guy potentially in Connor McMichael. Now, I'm not saying that McMichael is going to be at the level of Nicholas Backstrom. Like, that's not fair. But Nicholas Backstrom isn't at the level of Nicholas Backstrom. And so the reality is they have to be prepared to move forward and start integrating these younger guys. And now McMichael is going to get his opportunity. This is his chance. Now, he's playing on the wing and doing pretty well, but he's the center. He thinks of himself as a center. The team thinks of him as a center. He was starting on the wing. This is probably a little earlier than they were hoping for, but this is now McMichael's chance to show that he is an NHL center and that he can take that spot. So we'll see what happens over the next little bit. But the reality is they're going to have the cap space now. Even when Pacioretty comes back, they're going to have the cap space to go out and acquire someone if they feel like they need to. I hope they don't, because McMichael can be the guy. It's up to him to show it. But from everything we're hearing, from everything, you know, what he's been doing, he's playing hard. It seems like he's playing well. And I hope he takes this opportunity and runs with it.
Yeah, me too. I remember there was a big hoopla last year with McMichael, and he wanted to be a center. And they're like, no, we see you as a wing. And he's like, I like being in the center. I like doing this, I like doing that. And then he went to Hershey and kind of honed his skills as a winger. And he was a center down there as well. But he got better as a hockey player as a whole. So to see him now be at the center position, the fact that he was with Backstrom on Monday and was practicing, they were practicing together and kind of taking a back and forth. You know, he's able to soak up some knowledge from Nick Backstrom still being there at the time. So I like that as well. So the two of them can kind of work together and make him a better hockey player. So,
Well, that's the other thing.
Go ahead.
Like, sorry, not to cut across you, but like Backstrom isn't leaving the team. He's not like, see you guys. And then he's doing the like slow. Is it the bit that Family Guy was like the Incredible Hulk thing walking away with like, or it's the Bruce Banner walking away and you have like the sad music playing from the 70s or 80s. I don't know. This didn't make it. If this doesn't make any sense to you or anyone out there, then just, you know, I apologize for the last 10 seconds. But anyways, it's not like he's leaving. He hasn't like packed his bags. He's like, see you guys. Like, I think my understanding is that from what I've read is that he's still going to be around the team. He's still going to be, I don't know if he's going to be traveling per se with the team, but he's still going to be around. I'm sure he's still going to be there mentoring the young guys and talking to them. And, you know, I still think this is a guy that's going to be there and he's going to be around, but it's going to be weird that there isn't a Nicholas Backstrom on this team, at least playing, you know. And I know he said he's going to try and come back, and I hope he can. But I also don't want it to be a situation for him where he's just like, he keeps trying to come back and things keep not working out. And it's just like, he deserves to have his career end in a good way. And even this isn't like, it can get worse in terms of just like the unfortunate story in terms of what we could see going forward for him. He deserves to have his career, his story end on his terms in a good way. And, you know, at 35, given I'm 4 years older than him, in the hockey world, he's an old man in professional sports in general. And so, you know, his career was coming to an end over the next 2 years, likely anyways. It's unfortunate it's coming earlier than he probably wanted. He likely wanted. I think he did want. But this is a guy that you can look back on, if this is it for him, and say, you know, he had a great career. And I'm sure he's a guy, you know, whether he stays in town or he goes back to Sweden, I'm sure he's a guy that's going to pop in from time to time and do events with the Capitals, because he's an all-time great. Literally, I mean, his statistics show that alone. Am I right? He is the most assists in Capitals history, or something along those lines. So he's an all-time great for this team, this organization, and he's a big part of it. And, you know, it's we're starting to see that transition onto the next era of guys. You know, we've seen that with the goaltending. We've seen that a bit with some of the defensemen that have moved on. Now we're starting to see it with some of the forwards.
So, all right. So kind of walk me through this, see if I'm understanding this correctly. So if he goes on IR, that's like what, a 14-day window, something like that. He's on injury reserve. If he goes on long-term injury reserve, he's just out for as long as needed. But because he's not retiring, that $9.2 million has to kind of just like sit in the bank, because potentially he could come back and play again, and he would get that $9.2 million. But like, if he were to come out and say, I tried, I'm not coming back, I have to retire, that $9.2 million is in play again, right? Like, they actually could go out and get a center for that amount of money.
Okay, so if I have this is according to Wikipedia, so we'll get to that in a second. If Backstrom doesn't retire, which is the case at the moment, he goes on long-term injury reserve. The Capitals can go, again, if I have this correctly, because it doesn't make sense like why they would do it this way, but whatever. They can go above the salary cap ceiling the amount that his contract is, right? So they can go up to $9.2 million over the salary cap ceiling, which is currently at 83.5 million is the salary cap in the NHL. They can go over once if they put them on long-term injury reserve, which I have to imagine they will. It can go over by 9.2. by having Pacioretty already on there, they are able to go over by 2 million. I believe Joel Edmondson's on there. That's another 1.75. I don't know if there's like a rule on how many guys you can have on long-term injury reserve, and that might be part of the reason they haven't put him just yet, because I don't remember when Edmondson wasn't at first, and then they moved him to long-term injury reserve. So my guess is maybe they move him Backstrom to long-term injury reserve, because maybe there's like a rule on how many you're allowed to have. Maybe they move him after Edmondson can come back. But there is a rule in terms of how many days or how many games you have to miss. I think it's in like the 20s. Days, not games, before you can come off of LTIR. And so once Backstrom goes on there, they have a lot of money to play with, because Pacioretty's only signed for $2 million. So, you know, 9.2 down to 7.2, 1.75, you're down to, oh God, why did I start this? You got about 5 million. So what, somewhere around 5.3 million or something like that to play with? 5.25, somewhere around there, I think. So if it turns out like, you know what, we're actually doing okay, we're not doing great, like we might need to bring a guy up or bring a guy in, make a trade, and you're not, you know, shedding a lot of salary, you can bring in a guy that costs a fair amount of money. If you're the Capitals, you need to be going out and getting a guy in his like mid-to-late 20s, you know, like 25 to 27, 24 to 27, something like that. Like, I don't want a guy who's 31 or 29, right? Because you need to start thinking about the future. You already got enough late 20 guys in Mantha, in Tom Wilson. Dylan Strome is 26, which is obviously not late, but like Milano's 27. Like, these are your guys post Ovechkin era. So they will have money to play with once they put them on LTIR. If he retires, my understanding, if I'm reading this correctly, and this is from Wikipedia, so who knows, if a player retires, any remaining salary bonuses are no longer playable. Although if the contract, that doesn't actually answer the question now, does it? I think if I remember this correctly, I believe as long as they haven't signed their contract after the age of 35, their cap hit comes off the books completely if they've retired. If they signed that contract before they were 35, which Backstrom's 35 now. And I think this is the end of his long deal because he signed it. I don't know how to find that. Well, I mean, I click on his name, but who cares? The point is it was beforehand, so it doesn't matter. The point is, I think his contract comes off the books. Sign a multi-year deal. Yeah, no, I think it comes off the books. So if he ends up retiring, it completely goes away. So theoretically, going into like next summer, they will, if he retires, they have all that money to play with to potentially go out and sign someone. Now, so who would be a free agent? I don't know. Maybe you don't need a center, because right now Dylan Strome is tearing it up. Yep. He's leading the team in goals right now. He doesn't have any assists, which I feel like is weird for a center. And weird for a center that's centering Alex Ovechkin. He has no assists. On, you know, but he's leading the team in points. Goals, sorry. Points is Ovechkin. And they got him. They got Kuznetsov, presumably. You got McMichael. You got Dowd. And you got LaPierre kind of waiting in the wings being like, hey, guys. Me too. I want to play. So do they need to go out and sign a center? I don't know. And you got Mallinson, who I believe can play center. I might have that wrong, but I think he can play center. So, you know, it's going to be interesting in terms of like what this means for the team going forward. But I think for right now, you know, we can reflect on a guy who just, he meant a lot to this organization. He meant a lot to this team. And if this is it for him, As sad as we may be, you know, I tip my cap to him on an outstanding career.
Yeah, stick taps to Nick Backstrom, getting to do what he loves for a living, and it's really sad to see this injury affect him for so long. But taking a leave of absence, it's what is going to be best for him in the long run. Yes, us as fans were sad, but it makes sense for him and his family. So. Nothing but respect for Nick Backstrom. It's just, it really is amazing. I gotta tell you a story about Nick Backstrom, though. So back in the day when they used to do CapsCon, me and our good friend of the show, Phil Williams, we went to, I think it was the first year, it was the first or second year we went, and we paid and got the Nick Backstrom photo op. And Phil went up to him, put his arm around Backstrom, and this was, again, this was back in the day. This was Backy's single bachelor days. And Phil goes, hey, where can I meet some nice Swedish girls around here in D.C.? And Backstrom just goes, I don't know, but if you find them, let me know. And Phil just kind of laughs and they take their picture, and that was about it. So Backy's always been a fun guy to be around. He's a good guy. We wish him nothing but the best here, and it's going to suck not to have him on the bench moving forward, but we'll see what happens next. But with Nick Backstrom taking a leave of absence, it does open the door and a great opportunity for up-and-comers like Connor McMichael and Henrik Slapierre to see what they can do at center. Now, Connor McMichael's always had the confidence that he can be a NHL center, and where I think we're seeing that, he enjoys that. But LaPierre, he's a guy that came up over the weekend due to Nick Dowd missing more time. But Henrik Slapierre, you know, had a better season than he did in the past this past year with Hershey. So this is good for him to get some experience. And plus, we saw in the postseason for the Hershey Bears that LaPierre and Protas really work well together. And the fact that those two have been paired up as a duo, I think, is a really good sign. And it's good for LaPierre's growth that he's got a guy like Protas on the line, sharing the line with him.
Yeah. I mean, we've got the nice thing about the team is that when they still got these veteran guys, like, it's not just a bunch of young guys being like, go have fun, go play hockey. You know, they've got veteran guys that can come in. They've got veteran centers that can kind of coach up the young guys as they come up. They've got veterans on defense. They got veterans on the wing. They don't really have any young goalies coming up at the moment, but they've got guys that can come in and kind of help. And they kind of spread it out throughout the lineup. Like, you don't have a line of just, you know, early 20, late teens that are playing. And so I like the makeup of this roster. There's still a ton of questions and still of what they're going to get. But the reality is we had questions about Backstrom in terms of what he was going to be able to do and how long he was going to be able to play. And so I like how this lineup is kind of shaping out. We'll see how they do over the next, you know, couple weeks. But I think the team overall is playing better, obviously, because they've, you know, won games and are scoring goals, which is nice. And so we'll kind of see what happens going forward. But if it doesn't go well, they're going to have a problem on their hands. I think we're going to see a trade because they're going to need to do something to shake this roster up and start getting somebody that can produce points.
Now, it's been good since we talked. Well, since I did a show last, the Capitals went 2-0 over the weekend, which was really good. They are showing that they are doing better under the Spencer Carberry system. Do you feel as if these guys and the system that Carberry is trying to put in, is it clicking? It feels like it took them a couple weeks, but it finally seems like these guys are kind of running, you know, they're all on the same page now.
You know, it's funny because I feel like shortly after, like a week or two into the season, maybe it was like a week and a half into the season, I can't remember who it was, but someone put on Twitter that we saw the same things. I may have reposted it. We saw the same things in Hershey when Carberry started there. That they kind of struggled out of the gate. And then once they kind of got the system, they like ran with it. And I think they talked a lot about this, at least the last two episodes of Caps this morning, about how the power play is just completely different. They have so many different looks and that teams don't really know what to expect. And I really like that. I like that the power play is shaking things up because it's become a bit stale. And I think that really can become a strong piece of their game, which will help them win. And so I think we're starting to see Carberry's system settle in a bit more. I think it's taken them a bit longer, which is the reality of the situation. But I think it's really working out. And I think as they incorporate more young guys into the system, given it's about speed, that's really going to help them. I like that there's history here that has shown that, you know, teams start playing better as they get to understand the system a bit more. I think this is an argument that I was kind of having in terms of like, preseason really should be longer, like not more games per se, but I'm always surprised at how short the NHL preseason is. Like there should have been more practices because I feel like that potentially helps at least the Caps. It would have helped them to kind of hit the ground running a little bit better when the season started in terms of playing Carberry's system better. So I don't know. It annoys me how short it is. I don't need more games per se. I don't even need them spread out more, just more time at practices, I feel like. So I don't know. That's something I feel like the NHL should do. But I like that they're playing better. Their power play is doing better. I like to see their goal numbers go up. I'd like to see more goals in the first period than we've been seeing. But this is a team that's finding ways to win right now. And so they have, what, a 3-game winning streak that we're on right now?
I believe it's 3 games, yeah.
Is it 3 or 4? So, that was certainly something that we were not expecting to see at the start of the season. But you've got, 6-4 win over the Devils, who are supposed to be a good team, though they're struggling right now. You got a 3-2 shootout win over Minnesota, and then a 3-1 win come from behind against San Jose, who are, really not good this season.
Yeah, at the time of that game, they were still looking for their first win, and luckily the Capitals were not their first win.
Yeah, that would have been bad. So, I think they're starting to click. I think over these next couple games, we're going to see it a bit more, and they still have, a decent amount of home games coming up to keep working on it. And their away games aren't that far. They're going to New Jersey and Long Island pretty much the rest of this month until they do their California trip at the end of November. So they got plenty of time to keep working things out before they hit the road. So hopefully, that continues.
Yeah, then we definitely want to see more of that. And you're saying they're having a hard time scoring first, but I think the real issue with this team so far is the second period. It seems as if the last games that I've really tuned in for, first period, they start off a little slow, but they kind of pick up the pace and they'll get a goal maybe in the first period or they'll have a really good penalty kill or something like that. And then the second period hits and they just come out flat footed. And then they got to come back from behind in the third period. And that seemed to have been a real issue, at least last week, that second period really was like their downfall. So, what do they have to do in between the first and second period? Is it just like some of these older guys, these veterans are tired and then they got to get their second win back in the third? Like what's going on that makes this second period kind of like a struggle for this team right now?
My guess is it's a lack of adjustments by the coaching staff and by the players, and that, obviously even as periods are happening, teams are making adjustments. They're trying things different. They're seeing what's clicking and what's not. You see line changes, pretty often, not in terms of guys getting on the ice, but switching who's playing with who. And so I question as to whether they are making the right adjustments or enough adjustments between periods to be able to counteract whatever the other team is going to be doing. And I think that's part of their struggles right now. And I think as you have a rookie head coach, you're obviously there's certain things, just like with a rookie player, there are things that are just they don't know yet or they don't know how to do yet or things that they're going to have to work on and get better at. And this is something I think for Carberry and his staff that they have to work on and hopefully they get better at.
And like you said, there's a lot of offensive players that are doing really, really well right now. Dylan Strom, who I am constantly in fear that I'm going to call Daniel Sprong. I don't know why, but those two names I constantly am getting wrong in my head. But Dylan Strom is doing really well. Tom Wilson's coming back and looking like the old school Tom Wilson that we've all known before he got hurt. Anthony Mantha. There was all the talk of the town, and not in a good way, in the off season and preseason and training camp was all about Anthony Mantha, but he's actually showing up right now and he's looking good. He's looking like a leader on this team.
Yeah, I'll take it. I mean, this is a guy that not even just for the Capitals, but for himself, he needed his career to turn around. And he's certainly playing much better over the last little bit. And I think Carberry is rewarding him with that by moving him up in the lineup. I think his effort has definitely gone up. And that's not to say that that is to say that his effort was not good enough before. But his effort has gone up. His playing has been much better. I mean, he's only got 2 points on the season. But I think we're seeing a bit more from him than we have in the past. And I'm hoping that continues. And really, it's a win-win for the team, right? Like, he plays better, then the team likely plays better overall because they have another good player and they're hopefully winning more games. It also raises his trade value. So that way, if they decide, hey, this is great, he's playing better, we still want to move on from him, another team's more likely to take him off their hands. Like, this works out either way with him doing better for the Caps. He just has to keep it up. So my guess, he's constantly getting positive support from Carberry and the coaching staff and the media, hopefully in the locker room. And that can only be a benefit to him in terms of how he plays. So my hope is that Mantha keeps it up because, with a guy like Backstrom now out, and not playing up to his normal standards, you need him. You need other guys to step up. And someone like Anthony Mantha, especially considering his cap hit, is a guy that you want producing.
Now, Tom Wilson is having, like I said, just an absolute great year. And I don't know if you listened to Caps this morning, this being Wednesday, but they talked about the fact that this is actually his 11th year
in
the NHL. I feel like he just started, honestly. I'm like, 11th year? No way.
He's like 12.
Just kidding. But his 11th year, he just signed a 7-year contract, and they were like, look, Ovi's in his, 18th year, so there you go. Tom Wilson's going to be...
I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, Tom Wilson's going to be in this league, as long as Ovechkin is right now in this league. It's crazy to think about, but Tom Wilson, a mainstay for the Washington Capitals, and... I think potentially the next captain of this team when Ovi leaves, and it's just absolutely insane to think that that Tom Wilson's been here that long and he's that much of an impact player. Like, he really is. He's been a mainstay on this team for a reason. He's got the heart and soul of a hockey player, and he shows it every night he's on the ice.
I mean, I agree with you. He's the next captain of this team. It's either him or Carlson, and depending on the timing, of course, when Ovechkin decides to hang it up or go back to Russia or whatever he decides to do in terms of his playing career, which I wouldn't be surprised if Ovechkin went back and played a year or two with Dynamo before hanging it up.
Oh, he 110% is. Zero doubt in my mind.
the day after he passes Gretzky, he's like, I'm out! See you guys! No, I think that it's going to be one of those two. It's Carlson or Wilson. A part of me wonders if it's more likely Wilson because he just, he's 4 years younger. He's likely to play a little bit longer. But I think, they've been talking about this on Caps this morning. He's had a full offseason training, a full training camp. He's not rehabbing. He's had a full summer to relax and get his mind right and ready for hockey. And so I think that's why he's playing better. And I think he's just completely turned his career around. And I think it was Mike Vogel who was talking about that. He called him a unicorn. In terms of, he's a big guy, he's a physical, the league knows he's a physical guy, so why he's got the bad reputation, but he's also a goal scorer. He's a producer. He can pass, he can shoot. Like, he's a jack of all trades, if you will. And so he's a guy that every team would want on their roster, and if the Caps were ever to offer him up, I think every single team would say, yeah, we'll take it. Sign us up. We'll take that guy. We'd love to have him on our roster. And I like that they drafted another version of him this past offseason. So even as he's getting a bit older, he'll have a young dude likely in the next couple of years that comes up that's playing or learning, I should say, under him or being mentored, ideally. Hopefully it's not like a Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers situation. So yeah, we'll see what happens. But, it's a great guy to have on the team. He's top line Tom.
Anything else we should talk about here in Caps World?
Well, he reached 300 points. Oh, Hardy Hammond Actel, he got his first NHL point over the weekend. I don't really like the constant rotation on the defense in terms of who's playing. Like, can we get some stability here? Like, I'm not a huge fan of the constant rotation. But I never like it, given I've never, played hockey, at least ice hockey anyways. But I never like how they're like, well, things aren't working in the first period, so we're just going to, mix around the lines. And I'm like, well, you get settled. But, that might be more of my, I used to play basketball and soccer and stuff. And so maybe that's, maybe that's just different to me in that way. But that's always bugged me a little bit. But, every team pretty much does it. So I don't think it's the end of the world.
All right. Well, congratulations, Hardy, getting your first point. And congratulations, Tom Wilson, for getting your 300th. We're going to take a quick break and you'll hear from our sponsors. And then we'll be back with Down on the Farm.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
welcome back to the show. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 2-0 with wins over Lehigh Valley and Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Bears are currently first in the Atlantic Division with 12 points, two up on second place Hartford. Hershey goalie Clay Stevenson recorded his first career AHL shutout on Saturday with 32 saves in the win against Lehigh Valley. Now, the Bears will be back at it tonight, that being Wednesday, hosting Lehigh Valley at the Giant Center. But remember what it was like during the... I was going to say lockout. During COVID, when they kept playing like the same three teams over and over. And I was like, why are they always playing Lehigh Valley? And then I realized what was going on because I just had missed the news. And I was like, oh, I feel like they play that every week. I'm like, oh, we're playing Lehigh Valley. They're hosting Lehigh Valley at the Giant Center before back-to-back games starting on Friday in Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Then they host Bridgeport on Saturday.
Now, let's talk about this real quick, though. We talked about this after the Hershey Bears won the Calder Cup, that a lot of the players that were in that Calder Cup team went over to Europe. I mean, there was a ton of players that left the organization and are now playing over in Europe after winning the Calder Cup. They're first in the Atlantic Division right now. And I know this is an early part of the season, but even with those players departing for Europe, this Hershey Bears team hasn't skipped a beat and they're still winning with a lot of new faces.
I mean, was it a ton of guys? I know there were a couple of guys that left and a couple of guys that come up to the Caps, but, you know, the Caps have done pretty well drafting. You know, they've done well in terms of like AHL veteran free agents, the Bears have, and the Caps have provided them with some good talent. And so I think that helps. And I think you see that all the time in the minors. And I think that's just a reality of like players coming up. And so you always lose good young players. But when you get a guy like Ivan Miroshnichenko down there and, you've got it. I mean, when you have a good, stable franchise in the Hershey Bears, it only benefits everyone.
Right.
And so may it continue.
Yes.
Indeed. Let's go down to South Carolina, where they have started their season going 2-2 with wins over Newfoundland. They are currently fourth in the South Division with 4 points. They'll be back at it on Thursday in Jacksonville, then host Savannah on Saturday at the North Charleston Coliseum before heading to Atlanta on Sunday. They then head back to Orlando on Tuesday of next week. Can I ask, whoever is in charge of the ECHL or the South Carolina Stingrays website, can you stop changing your website? Like, I finally get settled. Given, I do appreciate that they now made a calendar of their games like the Caps have and the Bears have. But why is your calendar start on freaking Monday? Anyways, pick one and stick with it is what I'm trying to say. And then also do what the rest of us do. And Sunday to Saturday in calendars, you weirdos. Anyways, that's what's going on down at the farm.
I love how angry you get.
literally, you're not going to, like, you and I know this, but I botched it a moment ago because the freaking schedule. Who did Sunday? Now, in reality, we probably should because, you know, weekend, but we don't because it's the U.S. and we do things our own week that we are. But, like, I give up.
Well, don't give up yet. Go Bears, go Stingrays. We're going to take another quick break, and then we're going around the NHL and beyond. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are going around the NHL and beyond. Coach Dan, tell us what is going on. I know there's a lot of stuff going on in the world of hockey right now, so let's get right into it.
Well, let's start with some somber news out of England as former NHLer Adam Johnson tragically passed away after taking a skate to his neck during a game between the Nottingham Panthers and the Sheffield Steelers. The NHL and NHL Players Association are now discussing additional safety measures as a result of this accident. And I actually was just reading on Twitter that the WHL has also announced that all players effective November 3rd or when teams can get the equipment in will be required to wear neck guards. This includes games and practices. So essentially anytime players are on the ice. And I would not at all be surprised if this is a requirement in the NHL and all other leagues going forward.
I remember a couple years ago in the NHL, I can't remember the player off the top of my head. I want to say he was a Ranger, but he took a puck to the eye and that got busted up really, really bad. Like, I think he almost lost his eye or something like that. And then they said, okay, everyone has to wear a face shield unless you are...
Your grandfathered in at that point, basically. Like, everyone after that point coming in legal, like, you're wearing a face shield. And then Ovechkin had a cool visor one that was, like, metallic, and then Martin Brodeur complained, and then he couldn't wear it anymore.
Yeah, I think this was just, like, a couple years ago. Like, I want to say, like, 2-3 years ago this happened. I could be wrong, where they required the visors.
At some point, the NHL did was like, okay, we're getting people getting hurt. And I think, I mean, players getting cut by skates has been happening. I mean, remember Clint Malarchuk when he was with the Sabres?
I remember that, yes.
He almost bled out on the ice. Zednik, 8-9 years ago, something like that. Richard Zednik, I think, was the one. He got cut with a skate and collapsed on his way to the bench. And so, you know, these are things that are happening, and I don't know why it took this long, and unfortunately... You know, it took for someone to pass away from it to start looking and going, oh, yeah, you know, it's a contact sport and these things happen. And this isn't anything new, you know, so it's a sad situation that happened. And I know a number of NHL teams used to play for the Penguins. I believe the players are wearing his number on their helmets. And so, you know, thoughts are with his family and friends during this obviously difficult time. Unfortunately, go ahead.
It was 2013-14 is when the visor became a mandatory fixture in the league. So 2013-14 is when that happened. But I like the fact that the NHL is, I mean, it's not, they're being reactive to this, but I think it's a good reaction. It's not they're going, well, it's just some freak accident. You know, it's really unfortunate that it happened, but we're not going to change the game or whatever like that. They're looking at it going like, all right, there's things that could potentially maybe have prevented this. Let's look into how we can make the game safer for all of our players. And they're doing that. We know that TJ Oshie, close to home here, he has his own clothing line, and it's a lot of hockey gear, and it's like skate blade resistant. He wears it now, like on his wrists and his arms and stuff. But he does have some neck gear stuff on his website as well, War Road. So this is something that is on hockey players' minds, and obviously the NHL is taking this seriously, and they're trying to make the game safer. So I like the fact that the NHL is looking into it, but really is tragic news coming out of England for what happened. Adam Johnson it's always a risk when you play a physical game like hockey that something like this could happen, but you never actually think it will. So really tragic news that this had to this happened in England. So very sad.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it shouldn't take something like this for changes to happen, you know? You know, Malarchuk, Zednik, there are other guys, I'm blanking on other names in the past, but I know I've seen or heard and players who have had, like, you know, near misses. And why is it took till now to be like, we should fix this situation, you know? I don't know. But unfortunately, we aren't done with somber news, as this past Saturday, the world was stunned with the announcement that Matthew Perry, the well-known actor from Friends and longtime Ottawa Senators and Los Angeles Kings fan, passed away in Los Angeles. In a post on Twitter, the Senators said, "One of Ottawa's proudest sons and the biggest hockey fan." And we know the Kings, Predators, and Blue Jackets organists played the Friends theme during their respective games over the weekend. I know the Blue Jackets did it on Saturday, when news kind of came out that he had passed away. Matthew Perry was 54 years old. In other NHL news, Jor Thornton announced his retirement via a video message a few days ago. Did you see this message, by the way?
I did not.
You need to go watch this because this was very on brand for Joe Thornton.
Okay.
He announced his retirement in a rather fun way, let's say. He was shirtless, still has his big old beard, and a large hat, which I couldn't tell on the angle. Was it like a cowboy hat or like a farmer's hat? I don't know. It was a big old hat. He played in 1,714 games, getting 1,109 assists and 430 goals, playing in Boston and San Jose. That is a heck of a career.
Really is.
Former Canadiens forward Tomas Plekanec announced his retirement. He played in 1,001 NHL games, scoring 233 goals and 375 assists, playing with Montreal and Toronto.
I want to be the guy who plays 1,001 games. Like, I wonder if he was like, I don't want it to be 1,000.
I'll take game.
I want one
just
more.
Don't check me.
Don't touch me.
Leave me alone. I'll take one shift. And I want to be on a line with Ovechkin. I didn't want to score. I'll just set him up for a goal. Nashville's Ryan O'Reilly played in his 1,000th NHL game recently. Congratulations to him. This one kind of annoyed me. We can talk about this for a minute. But Ottawa's Shane Pinto, I believe is actually unsigned, was suspended for 41 games for sports betting. Now, my understanding is that the games he bet on were not hockey related. To me, this is dumb. We're going to suspend a guy for betting, which is becoming more and more sports betting, which is becoming more and more a thing. But we're going to ignore that one of the league's partners is with freaking betting organizations, or that Ottawa's the team's there, I believe, shirt sponsor or on their helmet is a freaking betting company. So they're like, hey, fans, we have all these opportunities. Didn't the Caps recently have like a sports book put into that, given I don't understand any of this, but like, did they recently have a sports book put into Capital One Arena?
Yeah, it but took none the place of you players go in there.
I completely understand why you're not allowed to bet on the sport you're playing in, because now there are questions as to whether you're actually like, are you fixing games to an extent? Hockey's, I imagine, a little bit, unless you're like a goalie, a little bit harder because 60 minute game, and even the best players are paying, you know, 22, 23 minutes a night, unless it's one of those freak games. But like, if you're betting on the own sport that you're playing or the game you're playing in, like, yeah, you're going to get suspended because that's incredibly sketchy. But if he's betting on Monday Night Football, where he has no say whatsoever, he's not in there. He's just like me. He's a fan. Why is he being penalized for this? I could be 100% wrong. Someone explain this to me. This is so stupid to me. Especially when the league is like, you're not allowed to do that. But hey, fans, come on down and go ahead and go our sports book over replacing the Green Turtle. Like, this is dumb. Brandon, make it make sense.
Well, if your employer says, no, you can't do that, and then you do it anyway and get caught, then...
Okay, no, that's fine, obviously. Like, I get why he got suspended. I don't get why it's a rule. You know, so not was he on the bench betting on games? Like, we sitting there, like, he'd hop over the boards, get down, get a drink from the Gatorade bottle, then check how the game is going? Like, what?
I think if there wasn't a league sponsor for betting, then I think it wouldn't be an issue. But the fact that the NHL and, like, FanDuel are in cahoots together, I think that's what the issue is.
I love the people that came out on Twitter and were talking about how it's like this suspension brought to you by FanDuel and Bet365 and whatever that was. That was really funny because it didn't click with me at first. I was like, hold up. I was like, wait, what? I don't get it. Like, if you're betting on the sport you're playing in, sure. Otherwise, this is stupid. So, Ryan, the angriest man on Twitter, Ryan Drury, explain to me, the angriest Canadian in the world, explain to me why this is happening. Someone, make it make sense. Like, I don't get it. I don't. It has nothing to do with this sport, right? I get why athletes are held to a higher standard and, like, they get caught for, like, drunk driving, which is obviously incredibly dangerous and stupid to never do that. But they can get suspended for that or just doing something incredibly dumb because these are supposed to be professional athletes. That's the reality. You're in the public spotlight. right? Like, I get it. This one makes no sense. It's his free time. Like, our guy's getting suspended for playing, what's that game called, Starfield? Or whatever, like, they're World of Warcraft, where guys getting in trouble for doing all of that because they're spending so much time playing video games instead of, like, practicing. Like, in trouble with their team if they're not playing well. But, like, I don't care. Like, that effect, what was it? I think it was Ovechkin, where, like, video games were a big thing for him when he came into the league. I don't care if after practice he goes home and plays video games. I could not care less. It's none of my freaking business what they're doing in their free time. This doesn't hurt anybody. If anything, well, I was going to say if he's losing, it helps other people, but that's not really how it works, you know? Like, what's the next thing? If they have a fantasy football team, they're going to get in trouble?
Yeah, I don't think they're allowed to do that either.
I swear to God, if that's true, I'm going to be so pissed. Because that's so stupid. You're not allowed. First of all, I was going to say fantasy baseball. I did that in high school, and it's just so much work to do fantasy baseball every day. Oh, that was so annoying. I was like, why? Like, 3 weeks into the season, I was like, I don't ever want to do this again. It's too much. I've done any of the fantasy stuff in years, so I was like, I don't care anymore. It's too much work. And I hated having a player or a team, depending on the one you're doing, like, you know, team's defense for football. I hated having someone that was going up against a team I supported because I was like, I want you to do well, but not against a team that I root for. So that sucked. So I was like, you screw it. I didn't care anymore.
My co-host Josh, he is in 8 fantasy football leagues. I don't know how he does it. I can't even do one.
Why? Joshua, we need to talk. Why? If you were a professional athlete, you'd be getting suspended right now. Apparently. Ryan, help me out, man. Explain this to me. Why does this make sense? Let's move on. We'll be here all night if I keep going on about this. Is annoying me. I came out and I was like, I don't get it. I don't understand. There's a lot of things that annoy me where, like, a player gets a legal hit and then they don't get suspended. And, like, that's annoying, but whatever. But, like, and he even came out and apologized. I was like, why? For what?
Sorry, I put those $2 on a CFL game, guys.
Yeah, like, I want to know how much was he betting?
Yeah, that's my question.
It's dumb. Anyways, Buffalo's Connor Clifton was suspended for 2 games, not for gambling, but for an illegal check to the head of New Jersey's Nico Hischier. Let's talk about this for a second, Brandon. We've suspended a guy for less games for potentially injuring someone or giving them a concussion, which can have life-altering effects. We suspended someone more for betting on a sport that wasn't hockey. Watch this whole thing is that he did bet on NHL games. Then I'm going to look like an idiot. But I don't think that was the case.
He's Pete Rose now.
I don't get this. Anyways, Clifton was suspended 2 games for being a butthole. But then also, Boston's Charlie McAvoy was suspended for 4 games for an illegal check to the head of Florida's Oliver Ekman Larson. Why are we checking people in the head? Stop it. Is there a big rivalry between Buffalo, New Jersey, and Boston, and Florida that we don't know about? Like, did McAvoy and Ekman Larson have a feud? Like, what's happening? Anyways, Ottawa Senators. Now, this one, although I don't remember the reasons for it, but I remember being annoyed at the time. Ottawa Senators, they will be forced to forfeit the first round pick for their role in the July 2021 trade of Yevgeny Dadonov from the Senators to the Golden Knights. Ottawa will have the choice to forfeit its first round pick in either 2024, 2025, or the 2026 NHL draft.
What happened there? What was that trade?
I don't remember. I remember Dadonov got traded from Ottawa to Vegas, and the NHL was like, okay, wait a minute. No. And then they axed it. But I don't remember all the details. And honestly, I don't care. Like, I just think it's funny. So, you know, and I don't care about the Senators. So I imagine, like, if a team trades for their first round pick, because Ottawa gets to choose, I think, after the draft order is announced, they can decide what year they want.
Yeah.
I imagine if they've traded that pick, they don't get to decide that year. So not like they can, like, trade their 2024 first round pick to, like, the Caps and be like, we're going to take 2024, take that one away. And the Caps would be like, oh, that's ours, you know? So I don't think they can do that. Going into Beyond News, the Professional Women's Hockey League team names have allegedly been leaked. Now, while this is not officially, the names have not officially been released, the leaked names are the Boston Wicked, the Minnesota Superior, Montreal Echo, the New York Sound, Ottawa Alert, and the Toronto Torch.
All right, so I'm all for women's hockey having their own league and 100%. Putting a spotlight on women's hockey. I love that.
100%. But if Why don't we have a team in D.C.?
If you want people to take them seriously, you can't give them these team names.
I don't mind Echo, although I feel like that would be more of like, I was going to say Seattle, but maybe that doesn't make sense. If Wicked, they have to do, you know, like an apple or something. Like, is it an apple? Or did I just completely botch the joke I was going to make about Wicked the musical?
Yeah, but no, that would have to be New York, because New York, Broadway, Wicked, I mean, that all makes sense.
To be fair, I took my wife to see it when we were in London, so it doesn't have to just be New York.
Okay. Okay.
We have to be there for work, but that's the point. I don't sound. I think is fine. That's the one that should be Seattle, but they already have the Sounders in MLS, so that doesn't really work. No, I mean some of these are Minnesota Superior is fine if it's, you know, the lake.
No.
Does that touch Minnesota? I don't know. I didn't pay that enough close attention in geography, but they're not great. They're not great names. No. I feel like they need a little bit more respect in terms of these, and yeah, they're not great.
The New York Sound and the Toronto Torch, okay, they're not bad. The rest of them, though, like, I don't get it. I don't like any of these names.
No, but I also follow a team called the Commanders and the Wizards and the Mystics, so probably I should just keep my mouth closed.
The Ottawa Alert sounds like there's a kid missing. Like, that. Ooh,
does. Or there's, like, a storm or a giant monster coming in.
Yeah, Cloverfield like sequel. All their sequels have sucked.
Did you hear? That's not true.
Yeah.
10 Cloverfield. No, 10 Cloverfield Lane was good. I like that one, especially considering it wasn't that movie up until, spoiler alert, it's been long enough. I'm allowed to. She leaves the basement-y thing. That was a whole different movie. And then I guess J.J. Abrams got his hands on it. And he was like, we could throw a little thing in there at the end and make it connected to Cloverfield. They're making a direct sequel, though, to the first one.
Well, it only took them 12 to 15 years to do that.
I know,
so
and they have it built in that they could have made a sequel. Because remember, on the bridge in the beginning, there's another guy with a video camera. Well, so the dude's panning, you see, or spinning around or whatever, you see another guy with a camera, and I'm like, right there. That's your sequel right there. We get these people's point of view and what they saw. And then, you know, you have the movie, and it cuts around, and you see, what's his name? TJ something?
TJ Miller.
Yeah. He's in a little bit of trouble now. But you see him and the other actors, and you bring them back for like a quick shot, and you're like, oh! And then people in the audience get all excited. But then you don't do that 12 years later.
Yeah, but the other thing too is when that movie came out, really good. There's the shot of Coney Island, and you actually see the ship landing out in the ocean. And on the website that they built for Cloverfield, there was a viral website that they put out where they actually had photos of like people going down and finding the spaceship and stuff. So like they already were telling you like, oh, we're going to make a sequel to this and it's going to be about the landing and how they found the monster and stuff like that. And then poof, nothing happened. And then they made that horrendous Cloverfield Paradox movie.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Since we're talking about movies and such, let's get into the last little bit of news as Hulu and Crave announced that the hockey-centric spinoff series Shorzy has been renewed for a third season. Production is expected to take place in Sudbury, Ontario in November. You can currently stream the first two seasons on Hulu in the U.S. and on Crave in Canada. That's the news for the past week in the NHL. And
have you watched Shorzy?
Nope.
Now, talk about great entertainment. Go watch Shorzy because the first season is great. I've been waiting till after Halloween to watch the second season, so I'm going to start that probably tomorrow. Oh my God, such a funny episode, such a funny show. Absolutely love Shorzy, love Letterkenny as well. The whole reason why I picked up Hulu again recently is because I wanted to watch those two shows and The Bear. The Bear also amazing. See all that stuff better than anything on Netflix. So Coach Dan, is that the show?
Yeah, buddy. I think that's it for the week.
All right, everybody. If you'd like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. You can check us out, both of us, on X. You can post X me at Brando Cash.
That's not
what it's
called.
Where can people follow you on X?
Nah, you're just trying. See, you starting with Netflix. Now you're just trying needling in there, buddy.
Everyone should watch PBS. That's what they should be watching, PBS.
X, letter X, brought to you by Tesla. What a putz. And now he bought X for how much? Like 300?
Wasn't it 44 billion or something?
And now it's down to like 19 or something. It's how much it's worth. What a moron. Anyways, you can find me on that, what is becoming even more dysfunctional website, at WTP Coach Dan, talking about Capitals hockey and all the things related to the Washington Capitals, Arsenal Football Club, the Bills, the Commanders, and other things in the wide world of sports. You can find me on there at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed this show, go ahead and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other things related to the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs, and their kind of freaky looking mascot.
And I tried so hard to get you to be the mascot.
And the I don't know how to take that. And the National Hockey League. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if someone happens to be a fan of a certain purple clad team based out of Baltimore, is there a podcast they should listen to?
So you can check out my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. Wherever you listen to this podcast, The Call is also available. My buddy Josh and I, we do at least a minimum of 2 shows a week. So definitely check us out as the Ravens prepare to take on the Seahawks. Let's go over the games until we talk again. On Thursday, November 2nd, the New York Islanders come to D.C. They take on the Washington Capitals. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that one on Monumental Sports Network. And then on Saturday, November 4th, Capitals stay at home, welcoming the Columbus Blue Jackets to town. That game's at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that one on the Monumental Sports Network. And then we'll be back. It's kind of weird. They've had a little mini break this week, since their last game was what, on Saturday or Sunday? It was on Sunday. And they got a little mini break till Thursday, and then they get 2 games, then 3 days off. So kind of crazy that the Caps are staying that busy. Or not that busy. They got other things going on. What's that?
I don't like these long breaks because I feel like it messes up their rhythm.
Yeah. What do they have the rest of the month? I'm going to look at that real quick. Yeah, so they got this little break, 3-day break, and then they got a 3-day break the week after that, and a 3-day break the week after that. So maybe that's just the rhythm. The next week, the end of the month.
That's a good point.
The end of the month, they go out to California, and they got 3 nights in 4 days. So that could be a little rough, but a lot of home games. A lot of home games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 home games this month. Wow, good for them. And 5 on the road. And 2 of them on the road are to New Jersey and Long Island. So that's not that far away. So that's not bad at all. That's a pretty nice little cushy schedule for November. Some tough teams, but a lot of home games, a lot of East Coast games. And then you go out to California at the end of the month after Thanksgiving. All right. Well, good for the Caps. Hopefully that brings some W's and some points, and these guys can right the ship and see what happens next. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.